Thank you, Ms. Joy. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and I'd like for you to turn them to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 tonight, and let me give a few announcements as you're turning there. And I want you to take something and put it in your Bible at John 21. That's where we'll spend the bulk of our time tonight. But I want to reference this morning's message and then go back to John 21. Tonight, just a couple of things that I don't want to forget. And the 3rd through 5th grade junior church is going to have a meeting. So if you're working in the 3rd through 5th grade junior church, they're going to meet right over here by the Oregon side, kind of where our group is right there now, signing. And so right over here by the Oregon, right after the service, if you're not in 3rd through 5th grade, but if you work in 3rd through 5th grade junior church, they're just going to have a quick meeting. That group has had the most change out of everyone for Sunday school, and so they just want everyone to get on the same page, and everything is going well. We just, this week we put up a couple curtains to divide things and make things go smoother, and so just want to make sure everybody's on point with that. And then, deacons, don't forget, we're going to meet together right after the service in the office here, and so if you could remember that, deacons, don't run off, amen, we're going to meet together right after the service. In John 21, we see Jesus, and we see fishing going on, but also this morning we were in Luke chapter number 5, if you remember, and if you were working somewhere in the ministry and did get a chance, I hope you heard the message. I won't reference it too much other than it'll just help a little bit. If you understand, in Luke chapter 5, the Lord Jesus gets in the boat, they push off a little bit from shore, and after they do that, Jesus preaches, and then they go and launch out and for a draw. They drop the nets, big encompassing of fish, almost to the net breaks, and they had to call others to help them get it in, and we talked about that. But we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 8 in just a moment. I want to pray before we get started, just and let you know tonight that Brother Doug came up to let me know somebody was late to church and just wanted us to pray. There's a bad accident up here at the light, and a car was on its side, and so we don't know if it was anybody from here or anything like that. We have no idea who it was, but we ought to pray for it. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for the message and for the car accident up here. Dear Lord, we come to you again, Lord, and just ask you again. I pray, God, that you just let me be your messenger boy and deliver your message again from your word. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that needs to be saved, that you'd save them, Lord, that they'd come and you'd draw them, Holy Spirit of God, to yourself. I also pray for these folks that were in this car accident, Lord. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know the people that were in the accident, but God, you know each and every one of them. And I pray, God, for their life, their safety, Lord. But I most of all, I pray for their soul, Lord, that you'd save them. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you'd be with so many. Our hearts are heavy with folks that are in the hospital, those that have just recently gone through surgery. So many of our folks, Lord, that are hurting at this time. We pray now that you'd give them peace and comfort. But Lord, I pray that you'd use the message, Lord, to strengthen us, help us, and encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of tonight's message for the tape room is Deja Vu. Deja vu. That's not because I'm reading the scripture from this morning. It's not because I'm going to preach the same message that I did this morning. But deja vu means already seen. It's a word that many of us have used, and sometimes we didn't really know where it came from, or it just sounds neat, right? Or a lot of times we learn that from other people using it. At least that's what happened in my life as a child. My dad would use the word, and he always would do it, and then he'd tell me, I think I've been here before. I've seen this before. Many times it's because a lot of times we learn by repetition, folks. And a lot of times when we recognize things around us, or we are alerted to things that seem like they have been repeated, oftentimes it is because the Lord is trying to teach us through repetition. Too many times we miss the warning signs, and we have to, at least for me, I can tell you, sometimes I had to run into the wall. And then when I run into the wall a second time, it's deja vu. It's like I've been here before. Amen? And we can talk about that spiritually. We can talk about so many things that we end up doing and living through in our lives, but really we see in the life of Simon Peter, deja vu happening to him. Now, there's a lot of years that happen in between these two instances, but the Lord Jesus Christ is beginning his earthly ministry, and he's calling disciples unto himself, in Luke chapter 5. It's a picture that's seen in at least three of the different Gospels. And here it's said a little differently. Our theme for our campaign is Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But I want you to see how the Lord Jesus says it in Luke chapter 5. He says here in Luke chapter number 5, verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, remember that they've dropped the nets, they're full, he's beckoned to his partners, and they come and help him. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and that all and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which are partners, and Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want you to picture tonight, before we go to John 21, and just for me, I've been over this scripture over and over again. And even for those of you, and I you know, deja vu may be something that it's hard for you to understand already seeing, but I know this is true about my own life. The calling of God on my life happened over and over and over again, and God kept knocking upon my heart's door until I answered. I can tell you that the first time I surrendered to do God's will was at 16. I never told a soul. I was in a youth conference and I walked an aisle and I told God that I would do whatever he wanted me to do. But I didn't tell anybody. And I sure didn't begin the walk towards doing what God had for me full time. I want you to see the picture here. They surrender, and they, as they walk away from the world, and this is a picture of most adults who surrender to the work of God full time and leave behind two full boats of fish. You say, who cleaned all them fish? They didn't care. They were following the Lord Jesus. We often don't think about the scripture and everything that was here, but without a doubt, fishing all night, and for these men, this is a miracle that they remembered their entire life long. It was such a miracle, it had to be not only a miracle of fishes, but a miracle of finances for them. It wasn't something they had seen every day, and now two boats so full they were sinking were brought to land, and then Jesus says, "Follow me." And they forsake all and follow him. And all means all. The boats, the fish, the net. And in this thing, these were both family businesses. And they walked away from the family business as well to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't know if that's something that's relevant today. It is as relevant today as it was in the Bible times. You say, why is that, preacher? People don't need to make a living. People still need to make a living, but they need to trust in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Men are dying and going to hell just like they were in Bible times. And if I could say it the best way I know how, there are more men dying in our day just because of the sheer number of population. People are passing away and dying and going to a devil's hell at a faster rate than they were in Bible times because there's just more people. So wouldn't it mean that we need more servants? Wouldn't it mean that we need more to surrender? Wouldn't it mean that we need more to pray, more to go, and at least more folks that'll put a hook in the water right where they live? And invite folks. You say, preacher, we've been beating this. Well, maybe it'll be deja vu for you because we'll be in the same area getting after souls. Maybe it'll be something for you. I've heard this all before, but maybe it'll be deja vu and you'll see in the scripture. Turn with me to John 21 because it definitely was deja vu for Simon Peter and John and James who were on the boat. John 21, I want you to realize the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ have already taken place. The risen Savior has appeared two times before to his disciples. And even after the second appearing of the Lord Jesus, Peter says, in this passage of Scripture, I go a fishing. If I could just tell you tonight, and I just want to be as plain and as clear cut as I can be, there are tons of people throughout the ages, even have gone to our Bible college and other fundamental Bible colleges, who surrendered but never made it to the field. They surrendered to the work of God, but when trouble came, much like Peter, they denied their calling, they denied their Lord, they denied the doctrines of the Word of God. Now, whatever it is, it could have been sin that wiped them out. It could have been tribulation of finances or just simple things. But for whatever reason, they were knocked out of serving God. You say, preacher, so let me just say again tonight, there's a great need. There's a great need today for Christian school teachers. If you went up to the convention, you probably thought, man, we have all the Christian school teachers we need. You know, they had a convention up in Orlando for Thursday and Friday. And you say, man, there was a sea of them. Well, if you took that small group of people that looks like a large group, when you put them all in one building, then you realize how many kids there are in Florida that need to be taught. It's not a good ratio. If you realize that God is still calling and is still calling many of you, just like he called Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's way too many times when we think, you know, that's the call, folks. That's the call every one of us here. It's just that some of us, God speaks to our heart to teach in a Christian school or maybe to run a bus route or to be a pastor or an assistant pastor or to be a song leader or to be a principal. We could go through the many different avenues, a missionary on the foreign field. We could go through the multitude of things that God can call you to do. But the part that is hard to do is stepping out in faith and surrendering to it. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Peter. They walked away, but after a whole lifetime, if I could say it like that, what would seem to be three and a half years of Bible college training, at the end of that, Peter one moment says, there's no way I would deny you, Lord. And before the sunrise, he had denied him thrice. Folks, if you think you're exempt from denying Christ, just have the pressure put on. Just not be as wealthy as you are today. Just be put in a bad situation. And even for many people, you know, the thing that one of the things that bothers me most is that when we are in a trying time, rather than reaching out and embracing the Lord, sometimes we push him away because we think he's doing something to hurt us. And last Sunday I preached on love. And I talked about how God is love. Realize, folks, that things happen in our life because of sin. God loves us and has sent his son to die for us and is working for our good and his glory on a daily basis. But because we're wrapped in mortal, sinful flesh, our first thought of God is that he is a God of judgment. And that when something is not going our way, we look at him like he's bringing judgment. Sometimes it's just deja vu. I've been in this place before because God is reprimanding me or chastening me to try to get in a close fellowship with him. You see, Peter had been appeared to two other times, but then he said, I'll go a fishing. I want you to see in the passage of Scripture in John 21, he says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. How many times has God showed himself to you? How many times has he showed up in your life and showed himself mighty? How many times has he drawn upon your heart to serve him full time? But you have a problem, you know. What we say, what do you mean full time? I'm talking about, how about, you know, let me transition your mind for just a second. Everybody in this room should be a full-time Christian. Whether you get to take care, be a full-time servant of God and get a paycheck to do it, everybody in the building should be a full-time Christian. We don't get to punch the clock on Sunday and then go out in the world and act like the world, talk like the world, and be the world. We don't hit a punch clock. Full-time Christians. That means always on the clock. Always ready to witness and to give an answer of the hope that lies within me. John 21 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed himself, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. I count about seven. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I just want you to realize that this is within the 40 days of Jesus' resurrection. There are several days here that Jesus is showing himself, and with many infallible proofs, according to the book of Acts, Jesus shows himself alive and well to his disciples. These men have already seen him twice, and they still, do you realize that he's told them, he's taught them, they know what to do and how to do it right. But they're not following that. They're like sheep without a shepherd, except for the shepherd has been raised from the dead. They're like scattered sheep, except for their leader seems to be Peter here, and he's not leading in the right direction. Now, let me just ask you this. You know, one of the things that I never wanted to be guilty of, now, I there's been a lot of times that God has had to chasten me, draw me close to himself. I know many of you don't think the preacher ever sins, but again, I've lived a long enough life to realize times that I've had close fellowship and gotten away, and closer fellowship and gotten away, and God has dealt with me. But one thing that I determined with myself, I never wanted to be the person that led other people astray. I never wanted to be the person when people were looking to me for advice. I never wanted to be. There's a lot of times that I can identify with Peter, but I never wanted to be one that said, I go a-fishing and take people with me. You know, if you're not careful, we'll get so caught up in this world and in this life and what we want for ourselves. See, this is what Peter knew. This is what he thought he was going to revert to because God had called him. And I want you to be reminded that the Bible says that the calling of God is without repentance. That means when God says, this is what I made you to do and what I made you for, and this is what I've called you from your mother's womb for, there ain't no going back on that. I don't know how many mothers' wombs you came out of, but there was only one. And when God says, I've got one of these callings for you, friend, that's it. That's what God wants for you. And what we need to do is just simply get in and get on track again and serve him. To surrender to it. Study for it. Live in it and give ourselves to it. He says here, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Man, they were great fishermen. This seems to be like deja vu to me again from Luke chapter 5. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And again, helpful understand, they're far enough away, they can tell that's a man. They can even shout back and forth, but they can't tell who he is. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now were they not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, if you don't realize, think about this, and I want you to see this. Peter was so far from God at this point, even when there was a repeated miracle in his life, somebody else close to him had to tell him that was the Lord. Look at the scripture. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loves saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Do you want to know the difference between close fellowship and distance, and especially from this chapter? It is love. Folks, everybody is going to have a reward one day if you serve God and you served Him. But what I want you to understand, our reward in heaven will not be measured by how much we did. According to the scripture, it says our works will be judged by what sort they were. And they'll be tried by fire. And folks, they're referenced like this: gold, silver, precious stones. The others, wood, hay, and stubble. And that's a sorting. That's six separate categories of where our service can be placed. Now, I want you to know this. Motives matter when it comes to our service. I really could tell you like this, who it's done for. Whether it was done in love and whether it was done in the Spirit of God. I mean, if I were to level it up to gold, it would be, it was done for Jesus Christ. It was done in the love that I have for the Savior, and it was done through the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to measure your reward? When we go to serve God on a Sunday, on a daily basis in our life, what is my motive? Are those three things paramount, or at least one of them a category and a box that I can check? Otherwise, it's wood, hay, and stubble. You want me to mark the other three for you? Me, mine, and pride. I did it so I could get advantage as well, or for glory, or for someone who's mine. Hey, folks, it is the Lord. That ought to be a deja vu moment in our life. When someone else has to recognize this is God speaking. Teenager, you want to know how that works in your life? It's when somebody sitting near you goes, shh, the preacher's preaching. Shh. I want to hear the preaching. When somebody has to remind you that there's something else going on and God is speaking at this time to you, if you would just stop and listen. Peter was just fishing and threw the net on the other side of the boat, and had it not been for another Christian that could recognize and remember the miracle that is repeated in his life, if it hadn't have been for somebody else saying, "Wake up, Peter, that's the Lord." You want to see what happens to Peter? What happens to a Christian? Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now we don't know how naked he was, but naked is naked. Naked in the body, according to the scripture, is showing anywhere between the above that knee line. You show the thigh, you're naked. So I don't know whether he had his outer cloak on and it was hanging open, and his under, he just had a pair of shorts on that were like the 70s shorts of basketball. You remember what I'm talking about. They were immodest, even for a man. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. Everybody wants men to preach on the ladies and their swimsuits and everything else, right? But it's all right if we bust the guys between their eyes every once in a while too. Amen? You bunch of young men that can't get it straight and don't realize that you shouldn't show your body, whether the clothes are too tight or whether they're too short or whether you look like a girl with lace and neck lace and everything else, you ought to get right with God, listen up to the preacher, and realize that one day you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and answer, not for your sin, but for all the opportunities you had to reflect His goodness and glory in your life instead of living for yourself and your own glory. You say, "Preacher, you're going on a tirade." No, I'm just trying to have some deja vu for folks. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Listen, I know that when I preached on necklace and necklaces, there were good men in our church that left here and mocked the message. And know this, you'll stand before the same Jesus I will. And you'll stand and answer for if you mocked with your boys the Word of God and the man of God. not for your sin, but for the opportunity you had to stand with the man of God. Amen. And to stand with the Word of God. Yeah. Amen and amen. He says, he can't understand. It is the Lord. He jumps out of the boat. He tries to gird and cover himself up. Too many times, listen, folks, I just want to, when you have a tendency, people who know right because they're saved and they won't dress right have a tendency to tug and to pull and to push because they just didn't get it right. They were too close to the edge. When they see somebody that they respect, all of a sudden they go tugging on their clothes because they know it's borderline. I can't drive by a police officer, and if I don't have my seatbelt on, man, I'm itchy. Now, I think it's my constitutional right not to wear one, but they did make a law that said I had to have it on. Now, I don't like that law. And if that person is saved, I'll meet them in a bright alley in heaven somewhere. I'll get them on one side and the person that invented the tie on the other. And I will wear them out for eternity. Amen. No, I won't do that. But I do know, you know, there's some things that aggravate us, don't we? They get us aggravated. They get us, I mean, they get us wound up. But look, he says here, man, he girts his fisher's coat. He realizes it's the Lord. Do you know there are some things that ought to reference us in this life? And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, look at it, dragging the net with fishes. So they don't get them in the boat this time. They just drag them along and get them to land. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon. Now, I want you to know this. In the first one, they turned and walked away and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't stop to eat. He didn't say, bring us some fish from your catch. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left the fishes. So I want you to remember that. Jesus saith unto them in verse 10, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes. I mean, Peter's on point now. Lord, you want some fish? Man, I mean, he ran into water, drug the net out of, I mean, it doesn't say anybody else helped him. He drags it out on land. I mean, he's going to town, right? And it's 153 fishes. Now, I don't think they were all goldfishes. I think he realized where he was and who it was. And now he's on point. Whatever you want, Lord. And I mean, he muscled up and drug them fish on shore. He says, yet was not there, the net wasn't even broken, it says at the end of verse 11. Verse 12, Jesus saith to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. There was no question at this point, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they bring fishes, and now they eat. Now see, this is what's different. There was deja vu. The miracle is much the same. Early morning. Fished all night. Jesus calls to them and says, throw it on the other side of the boat. They draw a big net of fish. Peter missed the miracle. John has to tell him where it is. But this is a repeated miracle. Do you know why God does repeated miracles in people's lives? Because sometimes we need it. Sometimes we need the encouragement. Sometimes we just need it to be able to get back on track. How about this? I want you to see here, number two will be repeated allegiance. Deja vu in the Christian's life. What had broken? Peter had decided to go back and do his own thing. He had surrendered to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, do you realize a full-time Christian worker, whether it is someone that gets paid through the avenue of the local church or through the Lord, or whether you work a job, a full-time Christian, they're surrendering to follow Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is, being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. When Peter denied Christ, he was denying his fellowship, his discipleship, his fellowship of Jesus Christ. He says, come and dine. Then verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Listen, folks, I hope you realize that the Bible, there's nothing in here by accident. The Bible is clearly telling us this is a third shot that they have to see him and to speak to him and to get back on track. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, you know, I've read commentaries where they say Jesus is pointing at the other disciples. Do you love me more than these? Folks, I don't know how you could read this passage of Scripture and not realize Jesus was holding a fish in his hand and going, don't you love me more than these? You walked away from these once, and now I've come and done the miracle again because I desire your allegiance. Do you know, you think, well, Jesus was just mad with him. No, Jesus loved him. You know, Jesus loves you just that much to give you deja vu times in your life and sometimes even messages so that you'll come close to him in fellowship. And whether it's necklace, a fish, whatever it is that it is, that's something that's you, between you and him in your service. And you say, what do you mean? Listen, I know in our day, we live in a day and age where so many people cannot level up in their service because of their dress. And I'm not preaching this to hurt you. I'm just telling you there's something you won't let go of between you and God when there ought to be nothing that he can't have. Sometimes it's people's wallets. And there, I saw the look. There it goes. I knew he was going there. He's messing with my money again. God wants your wallet because he wants you. This is the thing you're holding on to. And we could go through the list. Whether it's any kind of dress, and yes, even for some of you men, that necklace that you hold so dear. That's just one thing. If you can't give that to him, why? Isn't he that precious to you? You say, well, where does it say it in Scripture? Folks, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if the Holy Spirit of God directs you in your life to give something to God, I've watched people give things away and then take it back. You know what happened in Peter's life? He did the exact same thing. He got so sold out. And let me just say it this way. If it was right to give Jesus the first time, our age, the time we live in, didn't make it okay to take it back. Why don't we just give it to him? Wouldn't we be better off? Weren't we happier when we gave it to him? Or are we just holding on to it in pride? This is mine, and they don't got a verse to tell me I can't have it. Boy, that's a great attitude. Folks, I'm just telling you tonight, you say, preacher, it reminds us. You know this holding the fish, do you know why Jesus held that up? Because he said, your focus is all wrong. Your focus is on the fish. Your focus is on the wrong thing, Peter. You know, Peter, like too many people, when trials come, instead of looking to the Savior to take care of all our needs when we've surrendered to him, we'll look back at whatever it is that he called us out of to be plan B. And I just want to tell you, God's will doesn't have a plan B. God's will is God's will. You say, well, what if I mess it up? What if I've sinned? What if I tore the wheels off of what God? You know that God still has a will for you? You didn't surprise him by sinning and tearing the wheels off of it. You say, well, I can't do what I set out to do. Well, why don't you just get face to face with the Lord Jesus again and let him show you his will? His will for your life and your gifts and talents haven't changed a lick. He reminds us of our focus. He reminds us of the one we ought to love. Look at what he says to Simon Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You know what he wanted for Peter all along was for him to feed sheep and to be a shepherd of people? He gets him back on track. Look at verse 16. He saith to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You see how realize after he had deja vu'd him with the fish, now it's all about love. It's all about the connection to the Savior. It was never about the fish. Peter had made it about the fish. And Jesus had to use the fish and kind of really wake Peter up. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, three denials, three appearances, and three questions. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Listen to what Peter says now. He makes a confession of faith. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Do you know the measure of our love is if we keep his commandments? He says, you know I love you. Deep down on the inside of me, listen, everybody sitting in the room tonight, you showed up at church, I'm preaching to the choir, I know that you have some love for the Lord Jesus Christ, but a true disciple will follow the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the measure of our love. And in fact, folks, when we stand before him one day at the judgment seat of Christ, the measuring stick will be fire, and our motives are really going to sort our work, and whether it was done for Jesus, for our love for him, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Deja vu. You know, I'm reminded over and over again here. He goes through this. I mean, all this. Now, he doesn't finish with this. Look at what he says in verse 18. He gives him further direction. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, and to thee, when thou wast young, thou didst gird thyself, and look at this, walkest whither thou wouldst, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou would notst. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, look, he saith unto him, follow me. I want you to picture this and understand. At the boat, at the beginning of Peter's life, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. Jesus followed faithfully. I mean, Jesus led and Peter followed faithfully for 3.5 years. But then when Jesus was crucified, it derailed him. There was a major moment in his life that he just dropped the ball of his faith. Jesus had said he would return. He said he would rise again. He told him all the things that he needed to know. Peter just missed it all because he had his eyes on the stars and not really listening but looking. And instead of following in faith, even when Jesus comes back and appears to him over and over again, he reverts back to the old man that he once was. You say, what do you mean? How do you know the old man? Not just, hey folks, not just the profession. Peter was naked in the boat. And he knew better. He reverted back to the fleshly old man that he once was. And Jesus calls him out of that again. You say, well, how could Jesus use a man like that? How could he use a man like me? How could he use a man like you? None of us are deserving. It's by the grace of God that each one of us ever get a chance to even whisper the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and that he saves, let alone proclaim it to a lost and dying world. He says here, he says, Peter, this is what's going to happen. You're going to serve me till you get pretty old, till you get to a place where one day somebody else is going to gird you. You know what places like that, where they gird people when they get a little older? Jails. They check them so they make sure they don't have any kind of knives or weapons. And the girding he's talking about here is he's going to kind of be, in Bible times, kind of handcuffed and led to a cross. He signifies the death that Peter will die. Peter's going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now that you know what your end will be, if you follow me, follow me. How many of us, folks, too many people believe the only person in the scripture was the Apostle Paul that the Lord let see everything that would come in his life, and then he served God anyway. But I submit to you tonight, Peter knew when he left this place exactly what he would face one day. He knew that he would face the same crucifixion that he saw his Lord. But deja vu of a miracle, and he repeated his allegiance. Folks, I don't know about you, but I wish for every one of us in this room that a second chance at service for the Lord Jesus Christ would be enough. But you know, sometimes he'll give us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And wherever you are tonight, I don't know where you are on your service. I don't know where you are on your soul winning. I don't know where you are with, we could go through dress and all these different things of things that you will surrender because God has called for them. But I beg you tonight, don't let tonight be just another deja vu of something that you've already seen without surrendering and never turning back. The greatest thing that I can tell you about this scripture is that Jesus called for Peter to follow him once again, and Peter never turned back. Even though the same man was inside of the same flesh, he determined within himself to surrender everything that he was and never look back at the fishes. See, every one of us have a besetting sin, don't we? Something that'll get us every time. And I don't know whether Peter never got in another boat or never got near the water. You know, sometimes an old drunk, he won't never go by the alcohol place. He won't get close to it because he just can't handle it. I don't know what Peter did for the rest of his life never to turn back, but I know this. He put his focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And without a doubt, I guarantee you, when he was close with other disciples and other people, he said, listen, the turning point of my discipleship, one night I was on the sea, and I'd toiled all the night. I had even taken some other brethren with me, and we were in a place we never should have been. I was dressed a way I never should have been dressed, and a man called from shore. And then he said, cast the net on the other side. And he said, I didn't even know. I didn't even think about who that could have been. But John said, that's the Lord. And it all came flooding back to me. I was immediately embarrassed and broken over my sin. And I asked for forgiveness. I surrendered and got it right. And I followed him ever since. You say, preacher, repeated miracles ought to get our attention. And they ought to help us to repeat our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he repeats our direction and says, this is where I want you to be, and this is how I want you to lead, this is how I want you to walk, this is what I want you to do, we ought to take those things, like follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, or just follow me, we ought to take them as marching orders for our life. Folks, I don't know how you feel about the Landmark Baptist Church, but many folks that walk in here realize there ain't a lot of places like this place. And I don't know whether this is a second chance, third chance, or thank the Lord that there's still a place that goes soul winning, that has songbooks, that loves the Lord and has a congregation of people that bind themselves together to fulfill the Great Commission just like Jesus commanded it. That's not something to take lightly. And so tonight, I don't know if it was deja vu for you, but it was for Peter. And whatever God has asked you to do tonight, I pray you'll do it. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this may be deja vu for you again. I'm asking that you get saved, that you simply trust in the finished work of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's done everything you need to do. I mean, everything that needed to be done so that you could be saved. It's not of works. It's not of baptism. It's not of any of those things. It's simple trusting in the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you surrender to salvation? Surrender to service? Surrender to I have to say it this way, to be serious about the things of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet tonight? As the musicians come tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd love to pray for you. But I wish you would do this. Why don't you just step out and walk on the aisle and come and meet me in the front, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're a believer and you know you need, there's something between you and God. Maybe there's just something you want to renew, some allegiances to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you step out and come? As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. Surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender.
Bow your heads with me tonight. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. Let me encourage you one more time. This is an old-fashioned invitation. It's old-fashioned because a lot of churches don't have them anymore. And you may have been in a church and don't know what's happening right now. What the invitation is about is for you to step out and to come forward if you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You say, Preacher, I think I know. What I wouldn't want to hang on a, I think so, or a hope so. I would want to know what the Bible says on how I can be 100% sure of heaven. And if you're here tonight, while heads are bowed and folks are praying that you would get saved, that you would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, while Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender. To Thee, my blood.